Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence? Or do you know someone who has been a victim? One of your friends, or maybe someone in your family. Tell me, can you imagine what it would be like to be an abused wife? Have you ever wanted to know why this happens so often? Now, would you like to learn what happens when a woman and her children go to a shelter? Now, what happens to their pets? And we all know pets are part of the family. Tell me, have you ever heard of a book called Live to Tell It? And now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to deal with domestic violence? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today I'll be introducing you to my guest co-host. She's been on the show before, and she is a success coach extraordinaire. She will provide us with wonderful information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about domestic violence. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. Our show now has had over 2.2 million listeners to date. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. She was shot in the chest in cold blood and was left for dead and lived to tell it. Her story is very compelling and riveting. It is a true crime account about survival and courage. She was living a beautiful life, a life of dreams that suddenly all changed. Her dreamlike life turned to horror as her raging husband stood across from her and fired his gun. By a miracle, she survived to tell her story and how she overcame abuse. It would be very beneficial for you to hear about her experience and to know what questions to ask to identify abuse. Rereading her story, Live to Tell It, one will gain courage and the power to overcome similar situations and give hope to every woman out there trapped in an abusive relationship. Welcome back to our show today, Hannah Murray. Hi, Hannah. How are you doing?
Hi, January. I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm good, and I've been so excited about having you back on the show. Let's start right off with giving a plug for angelofmercyshelter.org. This is something that has come to be after you went through domestic violence yourself. Tell us about how you developed this shelter.
Well, yes. as you know, I was abused quite a few years ago, and it took me about 4.5 years or so to write my book, Live to Tell It, which is available now everywhere. And about 4 years, once my book published, I have been traveling extensively throughout the United States, speaking with different shelters and giving the victims that are at these shelters the encouragement and the hope, and trying to empower them and letting them know of my story, my horrific incident, and how I overcame it. And during that process, while I was visiting with these women, something came over me where I felt like this is not all I need to do to help victims mm-hmm. of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. I came to the realization that I need to do more, and that's where I decided that I wanted to open up my own shelter to help women and children, and very new to Arizona, their pets.
Oh, yes. And I love the fact that your shelter welcomes pets, because as everyone knows, when you have animals, they're part of your family, and to have to leave them or send them to a shelter or make other arrangements for them when you're trying to escape basically with your life, it's very difficult to do, isn't it, Hannah?
Oh, absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mean, speaking with these different women, hundreds and hundreds of women throughout these 4 years of my travels, I've learned that many different things can happen to these pets, unfortunately. When the woman leaves, the pet can either be abused by the abuser, the perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
They can be killed, or even worse, they will be given up for adoption where the woman and the children never see the animal again, and it could be very, very devastating for the family.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you know, for whoever has pets, they know that our pets are like our children. They're like, they're our family. They're part of our family. And if you're escaping your abusive relationship, you want to try to protect and save everyone in that horrific incident, and which includes your animals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's such a traumatic thing. You know, when women are abused, would you talk a little bit about some of the difficulties in deciding to leave? Because, you know, everyone else just sits here and says, well, why doesn't she leave? Why is she taking it? And it's a very difficult thing to do, isn't it, to walk out that door?
Oh, it certainly is. I mean, you second guess yourself. You feel like maybe no one is going to believe you. All of a sudden, you're starting to speak of this abuse, and you know, why haven't you spoken sooner? Why did you stay this long in this relationship if it was so bad? You start to second guess yourself, and you start to feel like people are judging you, and because of your low self esteem and so you know the abuse that you've gone through, it's very difficult to really find the strength, you know, within yourself to want to leave your abuser. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many barriers to leaving. It could be financial dependence. It could be a religious or family pressures, the fear of being alone, the fear of increased violence, the loyalty to your marriage. You could be in denial.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are so many barriers to leaving. I could, you know, go on and on and on of, you know, why women, you know, second guess themselves and don't leave. But if they do, then, you know, most of the time they go back and forth, and it's like a yo-yo. They go back and forth until, mm-hmm. unfortunately, they hit rock bottom where they have no other alternative.
And it's especially difficult when they're dealing with children and with pets, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't know a mother that would leave her, you know, child behind.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, people that have animals feel the same way about their pet. They might not have children, but their pet might be like a child for them.
Right, exactly.
And in Arizona, there's no uh-huh. other shelter that's been approved to house pets other than us. And I've heard that I am an inspiration to other shelters. In fact, they are starting the process of wanting to also house pets as well, because you know, it could be very therapeutic for the parent, for the children. And for those that don't have animals, it could be very therapeutic for the other residents in the shelter as well.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, so often now when you go to hospitals, they have dogs that come through and visit the patients and spend some time with the people at the hospital. And that just makes everyone feel better. Animals have a way, animals and babies, they can make people smile, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, my shelter definitely wants to save all the victims of domestic violence.
Right.
And statistically, it does show that 40% of women do not leave because of their animal.
Oh, really? That's an amazing 40, number.
Yes, 40%. And that's also one of the reasons why I've decided to, you know, house the pets as well. So,
now tell me, was it difficult to work that out, to get permission to take in pets? Was that a difficult process to be able to do this?
Unfortunately, it was not for me, no. What I did is, you know, you have to file the proper paperwork to become a 501c3 with any state here in our country. And once you do that, if you're already an established shelter, then you what you would have to do is file an amendment or some kind of an addendum to ask if, you know, they can also have the pets sheltered. In my case, when I first started the paperwork, I started it from the get-go where I wanted to house the victims of domestic violence, which included the moms, their children, and their animals. And I'm not just talking dogs and cats. I'm also talking, as I call, exotic animals, like the rabbits and the birds and the hamsters and any animal that they don't want to leave behind.
Yeah.
They all need saving.
Yeah, and it's scary to leave them behind, especially if you're walking out the door and you're leaving your animal to be subjected to the wrath of whoever you have walked out on. That's not a good thing, is it?
No, it's not. And I've met with hundreds and hundreds of women throughout these 4 years of my travels, and seeing the pain in these women and children's eyes, the tears that they shed because they have to give their animal up for adoption, which they'll never see their animal again, or they have to leave it behind and no telling what the perpetrator has done to it. And it really affects their healing, January. I mean, they want to move forward. They want to find a better life for themselves. But when they're thinking that they left a loved one behind, it blocks the complete healing process because their pain still lingers with them. Their heart is still aching for whom they left behind. In this case, it would be the animal.
Oh, yeah. I think you have come upon a wonderful way to help women feel that they can escape if they can take their children and the animals. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with Hannah, we're going to talk about the barriers to leaving. We've already talked about the difficulty of leaving an animal behind, but now we're going to talk about how to get out before he takes you out. And believe me, Hannah's an expert on this because she almost was taken out. We're going to hear from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Have you ever met someone who was shot in the chest in cold blood and lived to tell it? Now you have. Meet Hannah Lugerai Murray, author, advocate, and survivor of domestic violence, and now the founder and president of Angel of Mercy Shelter of Hope. Her dreamlike life turned to horror as her raging husband stood across her and fired his gun. She was left for dead. By a miracle, she survived to tell her story. Her book is available on Amazon and her website. If you'd like to have a personally signed copy, please visit her website at livetotellit.com. Hannah is now in the process of raising money to build her own shelter in Chandler, Arizona. Her shelter will house abused women, their children, and unique to Arizona, their pets. For more information, please visit her website at angelofmercyshelter.org. Are you living the life you always wanted? Is your relationship fulfilling or a constant roller coaster ride? Do you know how to chart your own path? If you are sick of struggling, overwhelmed, stressed but desire balance, emotional freedom, and a purposeful life, then it's time to try something that really works. Dr. Casey's unique result-oriented emotional mastery technique will teach you how to be your own therapist while empowering you to be your best. Learn more at drsimoncasey.com. That's drsimoncasey.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone. We're visiting with Hannah Murray, and her mission is to save women's lives around the world. 3 million women, this is unbelievable, are abused by their husbands or boyfriends each year. 3 million. Hannah was shot in the chest in cold blood by her first husband, and she lived to tell it. Her book doesn't just offer her personal story. It also comes with a free booklet that provides real statistics, helps answer some of the most common questions about domestic violence and abuse, and puts an end to cliches that are not only untrue, but dangerous and destructive. Now, Hannah, what are the barriers that prevent a woman from leaving? What are the things they go through when they're trying to walk out that door?
Well, there's actually quite a few different things that could possibly go through a woman's mind before taking the plunge and leaving. It could be the fear of her being alone. She could fear that she's not able to maybe possibly make it on her own. The abuser has probably taken her self-esteem to the point where she feels that she can't make it without him. He might say things to her like, you know, you can't do anything without me, nobody wants you, and hurt her mentally and emotionally to the point where she can start believing that nobody would want her and she's not worthy of anyone and she should be very lucky to be with the man that she was with. Other barriers could be, you know, family pressures. And telling them, well, you know, you're with him now, stick with it, good or bad, life or death. This is, you know, or it could be a religious thing where, you know, we don't have, like me, I was raised Catholic, and there's never been divorces in our culture, in our home, never. And I was technically almost, I would say, the first person to divorce her husband.
Okay. And what culture, what culture were you from, Hannah?
I'm from Yugoslavia. I'm from Yugoslavia, where the man rules and the wife obeys. I was told to obey my husband, to do exactly what he says. He was basically in charge, and I had no say-so in the matter of anything. He would be the decision-maker, and whatever he would say, I would have to go along with it. So,
okay,
you know,
and was this basically an arranged marriage, so to speak?
Yes.
Yes,
it was an arranged marriage. And that's, you know, another barrier to leaving is the loyalty to the marriage.
And also, how old were you when you got married?
I was 17.
Oh, my gosh. You were just a baby.
I was just a baby. I was 17 years old, and in my culture, that was 16, 17 was the age. I mean, I'm telling you, this sounds very strange, I'm sure, to most everyone that's listening, but if you were 19 or 20, you were considered an old maid.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. I know. It's just horrid.
yeah, but I know... I know this is very true because I was raised Catholic, and we had some of the girls that were in my Catholic parochial school who came from families who were from Yugoslavia and from other countries, and this was normal. They were like never allowed to date or do anything that the rest of us were doing. They were just very secluded, and I myself was invited to some arranged marriages, and to me at that young age they looked beautiful, they were dressed up as a bride, everything looked wonderful, but I didn't realize that they basically didn't know their husbands, did they?
No, you don't. I mean, during the time that he came to ask for my hand in marriage, I'd never spent 5 minutes alone with him. If he came to visit, my family was in the room. My parents were in the room with us. I never went out on a date with him, had any lunches or dinners with him prior to being married. I was not allowed to wear makeup, hardly very little makeup. So it was a very strict household. Just the rules. My mom got married like that, January. My grandmother.
Yeah.
I mean, generations of women in our culture married this way, and this was normal to me. You know, this was the way it was supposed to be, and I saw nothing wrong with it. I saw nothing different with it because this is how the culture, you know, was, and I was the only daughter, so I had to continue the tradition.
And in all fairness, let's talk about your culture. Many of these marriages were the most wonderful marriages. They had wonderful husbands, wonderful wives. Even though it was arranged, they were kind, gentle, loving people, weren't they?
Oh, yes. I mean, my parents are the proof. They celebrated their 50th year anniversary last November. Mm-hmm. You think that, well, I know for sure that God just absolutely matched my mom and my dad up from the get-go. And my mother was only 17 at the time, and my father was 21. And they've never met each other. They've never spent time together prior to the parents hooking them up, if you will. And to this day, they're still together. They're still loving, nurturing, a happy couple.
Okay. Now, you were 17 years old. Let me ask you this question, because I look back to thinking about being 17, and of course, at that age, everyone wants to get out of the house. They're miserable. Did you feel when you found yourself married at 17, did you feel like a sense of liberation? I have my own life. I have my own husband. Did at some point, did it feel good?
Well, what it felt like is I had to grow up fast. I was always very mature for my age, so I was not the typical 17-year-old. I was very, very mature for my age. So when I was married, I was a senior in high school. So during my summer break, I got married and then went back as a senior in my high school as a married woman. And everyone was like, what? We didn't even know you were dating anyone. Well, actually, I wasn't dating anyone.
Surprise. So, there you go.
So my closest friends, which were very few, but my closest, you know, handful of friends, knew my culture, knew how I was raised, and, you know, they found it a little odd and strange, of course, because they were going out every day. They were going to movies and parties and proms and all that good stuff, and but they understood it to a point where, you know, this is how you're raised, and it's okay. I mean, it was not very judgmental back then. Today's kids are more judgmental with each other than it was when I was 17. But, no, I did not feel, oh, wow, look at me, I'm married and I'm liberated, because I went from being told what to do as a child in my home from my parents to being told what to do as a married woman from my husband.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it.
So I was from one household to another, still being controlled, still being told what to do, how to do it, and not having much of an opinion on most anything. So, liberated? No.
No. Well, there you go. I had to ask that question because I'll tell you, at 17, if I could have gotten out, I would have jumped at it. Actually, I left when I was 19, but I didn't go into a marriage, which that's unbelievable to get married at 17. We're going to come back with Hannah and talk about some more unbelievable things. You know, every 15 seconds, a woman is beaten, raped, or killed. And we're going to talk about that when we come back after we hear from our wonderful sponsors.
One expert, one solution. The book, The 411 on Step Parenting, teaches you how to create a well-blended step family. The 411 on Surviving Teenhood helps parents and teens cope with teenage temptations, teachable moments, and teenage social dilemmas. The books, The 411 on Life Skills and Ace Your Life, helps those living on their own with home and money management, personal care and safety, and much more. An award-winning, best-selling author, registered nurse, and personal growth mentor, Michelle Sfakianos will help you. Get The 411, my411books.com. January is thrilled to be welcoming Dr. Nancy Irwin, who will be co-hosting on iHeartRadio with January Jones. As a doctor of psychology, clinical hypnotist, and author of U-Turn, Changing Direction in Midlife, Dr. Nancy is an agent for change. Many people believe that change can be scary, but she believes it can actually be creative and fun. She does know a thing or two about change, because at age 44, she transitioned from a stand-up comedian to shrink. Oh, believe her, the road from comedy to mental health is very short indeed. Most fears are learned, and the good news is whatever we learned, we can unlearn. Smoking, overeating, fear of public speaking, test anxiety, what have you. On our show, we'll be discussing how you can dissolve that negative programming and free your inner winner. Change is inevitable. You can either affect it or accept it. Visit her site, drnancyirwin.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions. Also, I'm pleased to announce that Priceless Personalities is now available at audiobooks.com. We have a very, very priceless personality visiting with us today, and she has written an amazing book, Live to Tell It. I want her, Hannah, I want you to share your website information for people who want to make contributions or go to angelofmercyshelter.org, and also share how they can get your wonderful book.
Well, if they would like to contribute to the Shelters Fund, they may go on angelofmercyshelter.org and go to the donor information page. And it's very self-explanatory, the several different ways that they can give us a donation for the shelter. Also, if they're interested to purchase my book, also proceeds from the purchasing of my book will also be submitted to the Shelters Fund. And if they want to buy a book, they can go on livedtotellit.com.
Okay. And I want to share with our listeners that I have read Hannah's book, and this book, once you pick it up, you cannot put it down. It will just, it's the most amazing story. How difficult was it for you to put this from pen to paper and tell your story?
You know, January, it was quite difficult for me because mm-hmm. 15 years had passed by from
okay.
the time that this happened to me to the time that I decided to put pen to paper. And the reason why it took so long is because that was the time that my heart, that I needed to heal and mm-hmm. be able to forgive my ex-husband for what he's done to me. And I did not forgive him
uh-huh.
to better him. I forgave him to give myself peace.
Okay.
So I could finally let go and give it to God, and I can then move forward without having that mm-hmm. weigh on me so heavily where I couldn't move forward. So the forgiveness process took me a good 12 to 15 years to do that. Finally, when I did find the forgiveness uh-huh. in my heart,
uh-huh.
then I decided to put pen to paper and put a book together for the simple fact of my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to
uh-huh.
one day read of what I went through, what I sacrificed, and what I did to pull out of that tradition that I was raised and show mm-hmm. them a better life, show them that they have freedom of choice, show them that they could make their own mistakes and not be controlled by me or by anyone, but do what's right in their heart and what their heart tells them to do.
So now, how did your daughters react to your book?
Well, my daughters were very, very young. I had a newborn. When I was shot, my newborn was about 6 weeks old, and uh-huh. my older daughter was about 2 years old. So fortunately, they were young, very young, where
uh-huh.
they were not emotionally distressed by if they were older to see what was happening. So that was
okay.
a fortunate thing for them.
Yeah.
When they became of age, I had accumulated all my paperwork, all the court proceedings, all the preliminary exams, everything that had gone on for those years of collecting, you know, court documents, doctor's
mm-hmm.
documents, I mean, everything from day one. And I sat them down, and instead of bad-mouthing their father and
uh-huh.
brainwashing them from an early age, which I could have done easily to talk ill of their father, I decided not to say anything negative about him, but let them make the choice and the decisions for themselves of how
wow.
they wanted to react about their dad. So when they were of age, yes, I
wow.
did. Yes, I did. Because it was not my place to do that. I promised myself that as I'm raising my two daughters, I'm going to raise them in a way where I am not going to instill negative energy in them. I'm not going to talk ill about the man that, you know, gave them life. And I'm going to let them have and make their own choices and decisions on how they want to handle it. So when they were of age, I put all the paperwork in front of them, and I told them that you need to sit here and read and then decide what you want to do, how you want to handle this, and what's going through your mind and what's going through your heart of what you're reading. I didn't want them to listen to my story, and I didn't want them to hear his story. I wanted them to read the facts of court papers and everything. And that's where they made their own decision, that they were very thankful that God had saved me.
Yes.
For the sake of them, and that they wanted nothing to do with him. But that was their choice. That was not something that I instilled in them. That was their decision of how they wanted to go about this and how, if they wanted to proceed to start to have a relationship with him or not.
Mm-hmm. And just briefly, let's give a synopsis for our listeners who haven't heard your previous interviews with me so that they have a little background on what actually happened. Hannah actually was shot by her husband, lived to tell it, and it was because he wanted to get insurance money, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. He had insured me in two different policies, actually. And for some reason, he got into some type of debt. The stipulation is, the assumption is that he wanted to he needed money to pay
uh-huh.
off some kind of a drug debt.
Okay.
And, yeah, so what better way to pay off his debt is to take my life and get the insurance money out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he had asked you to ask your family for money, which you refused to do, and unfortunately then he shot you, and you live to tell it. And what an amazing, amazing story. And, you know, every 15 seconds, a woman is beaten, raped, or killed, and you almost were killed. What should people do if they suspect that their friend or their loved one is being abused? What are some things we can do to help them?
Well, there are warning signs.
Okay.
And there are warning signs. And many of the signs women are taught to interpret as caring, attentive, and romantic, but they're actually early warning signs for future abuse. For example, isolation. Isolation insists that he would insist that you spend all or most of your time together with him. Cutting you off from friends and family, making you feel that he needs you and you should spend all your time with him. And a woman would think, oh, how sweet. He wants all my time. He needs all my attention. And that is a really the number one factor of the abuser starting to manipulate the woman's mind is by trying to isolate her. Intrusion, constantly asking where you're going and who you're with. Again, making you feel like he's caring and he absolutely wants to know my whereabouts because he loves me and he cares for me.
Sure. Oh, wow. this is very, very insidious, isn't it?
Absolutely. The need for control. And that's where he, you know, displays the extreme anger when things don't go his way and attempts to make all of your decisions, wants to tell you what to do and how to do it, and just wants to control everything about you. Possession and jealousy accuses you of flirting or having sexual relations with others. Monitors your clothing, your makeup, why you're wearing this, why you put on so much makeup. You don't need any makeup if you go to the store. Part of the control, part of the isolation, part of the possessiveness.
Oh, my gosh. This is fascinating. We have to take a break and hear from our sponsors. And I am literally sitting down and writing every one of these warning signs down in front of me and contemplating them. And I hope if you are out there listening to this show, and if you are abused or you know someone who is, I hope that you are writing these things down and listening to what Hannah has to share with us. We'll be right back.
Layla, a book by Jeannie Kerrigan, will take you on a journey, a raw, heart-wrenching journey. The final resting place? Love. Jeannie is an author, healer, and executive director of Ricky's Revolution Nonprofit. You can get your copy of her book at JeannieKerrigan.com. Ricky's Revolution comes directly out of Layla, dedicated to helping homeless runaway youths and victims of sex trafficking reach a place of safety. We distribute Jeannie's monkey named Ricky with vital hotline numbers embroidered on him free to children on the street through loving collaboration with thousands. Proceeds from the book and your donations have saved lives. Ricky'sRevolution.org. Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Millard, the great success creator. Miles is a two-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven, international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, play and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with my guest today. This is January Jones with Hannah Murray, and we're talking about her book, Live to Tell It. And Hannah, could you again share your wonderful website with my listeners?
Yes, it's livedtotellit.com if you'd be interested in getting a personally signed copy by me. And proceeds of the book sales will go directly to our shelter fund. And if you're interested in helping build the shelter in Arizona, the website for that is angelofmercyshelter.org.
Okay, and what a wonderful organization. And we've been talking with Hannah about the warning signs if someone is abused. We talked about isolation, intrusion, control, possession. What else happens, Hannah, in this process?
If you are unknown of his past, secretive, you know, about his past relationships, refers
okay.
to women with negative remarks, that's a big warning sign. No respect for women, that's a very big warning sign.
Okay.
Other warning signs could be that he was abused by a parent,
okay.
or he grew up in a home that one adult was abused by another adult.
Okay.
You know,
so
these are different signs as well, yes.
Okay, so he was a witness to abuse. What else happens? You know, it's no one's business what happens behind closed doors. And so many women, they're so afraid of sharing what happens behind closed doors, aren't they?
Oh, I just so don't agree with that statement. I always say that it is everybody's business what happens behind closed doors if there is abuse in that household. Everybody needs to stand up and take a stand, call 911 if you suspect anyone being abused and being battered, because that could be their last chance. That could be their last hope. You don't know how severe they're being abused in that household, and you could literally save their life.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit now, Hannah, about alcohol and how that escalates violence.
Yes, I've always said that, you know, alcohol and drugs do escalate, you know, the abuse. But it is not the main cause. I've always said that that behavior is already in the abuser. It's just sadly that the alcohol and the drugs probably escalated some.
Okay.
I've never believed that, you know, someone by drinking excessively or doing drugs is going to start making them hit on women or abuse children. I think that behavior is already in the abuser. And like I said, I do believe that the alcohol and or the drugs could possibly escalate it even more
Okay, but the real factor here is, it looks to me from what I've written down, that there's a cycle that happens. If the abuser has been abused as a child, then that pretty much is what happens, isn't it?
Oh, yes. If he was abused as a child, then he just continues that pattern. Or if he sees his father beating on his mother, and then he starts having, you know, relationships of his own and starts abusing his girlfriend or his wife, he just thinks back, well, my mom took it, why can't you? What makes you any better than her? And it's just a pattern that we need to break. It's a pattern that, you know, we need to stop before well, it's already become an epidemic, unfortunately. Like you said, every 15 seconds, a woman is beaten, raped, or killed. So, I mean, just think of all the women that have been abused during our segment here.
I know. I can't even go there. It just blows my mind. And
I know.
Very
sad.
What advice do you have, Hannah, for how someone can go from a victim to a survivor, which is what you certainly have done, dear, and to come back stronger than ever? What do you have to say to our listeners who are out there and who may be really needing to hear your advice?
Well, what I would say to them is look deep into your soul and know that you have the strength within yourself to set yourself free. Know that you are not deserving of all the pain and anguish that is bestowed upon you. If he abuses you once, chances are he will continue to do so. Most likely, it will never end. We women are very strong and powerful creatures, January. We have the strength and the courage to move away from something or someone that is hurting us. And I ask every woman that is hearing me now, save yourself and know that love doesn't hurt and it should never be controlling.
Wow. And if you are in a situation with children, small children, big children, animals, pets, you really need to take control. I know it's a very difficult thing to do. And we want you to go and go to angelofmercyshelter.com. Hannah Murray is there. She is there to help everyone. She's been through it. She was abused and she lived to tell it. And thank you, Hannah, so much for coming on our show and visiting with us and sharing these warning signs for people, helping people become aware.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me again. I truly enjoyed this, and I do pray that today we got through to someone and possibly saved a life.
Oh, wow. That would be awesome. That would be a wonderful prayer to be answered. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Hannah. She is wonderful, and my upcoming guests, they will all share inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. When you can, sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. If you would like to be a guest or advertise with us, just go to info@januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. Remember my mantra: if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Hannah Murray. And remember to go to www.angelofmercyshelter.org. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
Thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra: if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Thank you. my illness. My illness. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jan Jonathan. I have an appointment at 8:30 this morning, and I have a hip condition, and I can't actually put any weight on my foot or my hip. I'm going to see the orthopedic doctor later today. So it would be impossible for me to do the treadmill. I'm so sorry. I can't walk. Yeah. You know, he's going to be giving me an injection probably at the hospital, so and that should probably kick in soon, hopefully. So I could reschedule it, and then I'll keep you apprised if anything changes. I'm so sorry. Okay. Do you want echo? Yeah. Once they inject my hip, I probably, you know, could do it within a day or so. I have to get this injection out of it, right? You know, it's impossible. Okay. All right. Thank you.